Hi everyone. In this podcast, we will have a look at the poem The Searchers by Tracy K. Smith. Before you continue with the podcast, it would be a good idea to read over the poem in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The first heading is Subject Matter. This poem is about a character named Ethan Edwards from the 1956 film The Searchers, who sets off across Texas to find his abducted niece, Debbie. Years earlier, she had survived a horrific attack by a Comanche tribe on her family. However, when Edwards discovers Debbie years later, he realizes she has become adapted to the Comanche way of life and has become one of the tribe. His hatred of what he considers a savage, uncivilized tribe makes him want to kill Debbie, but he decides to recapture her and take her back to the white community from which she was originally abducted. The next heading is Theme. The poem explores a range of related themes centered around power and the desire of men to exercise control over women in relationships and in life. Linked to this is the poet's question as to why we insist that we can control our lives, whereas the poet feels life is fragile, unpredictable, and chaotic, similar to a wild, uncontrollable horse. One reason the poem suggests that we cling to life is out of a hope for a better future, of a warm fire, a rocking chair, a safe home. However, Smith argues life is unpredictable and precarious, which means it can suddenly change for the worse. In the poem, we understand how life has been controlled and traumatic for Debbie. That is, what living has done to her. The poem asks, what would living do to any of us? The next heading is quote 3. There are many descriptive images that suggest how Ethan Edwards is conflicted in the poem. Read over the poem once more and select any three images or lines that you think say something interesting about relationships between people, the land, races, or about society, and write them into your worksheet. The next heading is imagery. There are some very striking images in the poem, including the simile in which Smith compares life to the ribs of a horse, past commanding. Smith also imagines that the horse, which represents life, could at any moment kick its hind legs up and send us soaring through the air like cheap toys, emphasising how fragile life can really be. The poet uses a second example of personification in imagining that the frontier didn't resist the settlers' attempts to plant shrubs, dig wells, and remained unconcerned about who owned the land, whether it be Comanche or white settler. Apart from writing poetry, Smith also has a keen interest in photography, and you can see that this poem has a cinematic quality about it. You can almost imagine the graphic images in the poem being projected onto the big screen. For example, the image of Edwards grabbing Debbie, placing her on the back of his horse and riding into town, while the curious faces of the townsfolk stared back at her. The next heading is language. The poet uses direct and descriptive language throughout the poem. In stanza 2, she tells us that Ethan Edwards grabbed Debbie, puts her on his saddle, rides back into town. Another example of simple descriptive language is seen in the image of the horse that could rise up on two legs or kick its back end up and send us soaring. Many words in the poem create a clear image of a frontier-like setting, a reddish, rocky, desert-like place you might have seen in a western or cowboy film. The reference to horses, to fire, the porch, the rocking chair, and the water wells, all reinforcing this image of a bleak, traditional landscape. The next heading is form. The poem is composed of 8 stanzas, each of four lines, and end with a single line. The poem stretches down along the page, almost mimicking the long, slow pursuit of Edwards as he searches through the frontier landscape for his abducted niece. The poem is built around several key questions, namely, what does living do to any of us? And secondly, why do we grip to life? And thirdly, why do we insist our lives are ours? The fourth and final question at the end of the poem, asking what else could the frontier do but get on with living and dying, suggests that all of us, despite the struggles and challenges in life, will just get on with our daily endurances, with living and with dying. The next heading is sound. There is no rhyme scheme in the poem. Smith, however, uses other rhyming techniques in the poem that are interesting. For example, in stanza 1, she describes how Edwards wants to kill Debbie for the language she spits. That repeated hissing S sound suggests the hatred and contempt which Edward has for the Comanche language and their way of life. A second example of sibilance occurs in the image of the horse that could kick us and send us soaring. The alliteration in the lines, watched, not really concerned with weather, suggests the passive attitude of the land towards whoever claimed to own it. Everyone was welcome to plant shrubs, dig wells. The next heading is tone and mood. The speaker in the poem asks some very fundamental questions about life and relationships. While the speaker realises that life can be fragile, that it can be cruel, that it can be unpredictable and even traumatic, we tend to cling to it desperately because we live in hope of a better future. This thought will resonate with many students in your class, or people in your community, or even with the millions of people around the world. While Debbie's trauma opens the poem and it is very upsetting for the reader, there is a cautionary note of hope later in the poem. Yes, life can be difficult and we may not have as much control over it as we think. Nonetheless, we can all dream of how we could improve or enrich our lives, and that can sustain us even in times when we feel defeated or discarded like cheap toys. The final heading is personal response. What did you think of this poem? Can you say how you felt after you read it? For example, did you feel confused or sad or angry or surprised in any way? What did you think of the treatment of Debbie? Do you think Smith is interested in how some men assume they should have power and control in society? Can you see this idea in the poem?